All right, please find in your Bibles the book of Isaiah, chapter 42. This morning's scripture is going to be the first 8 verses of that chapter. And keep your Bible with you because we're going to go one or two other places. So, Isaiah 42, the word of the Lord. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. Thus says the Lord God, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Amen. The words of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. Father, now that we have read your word, we ask now that you would open our understanding to the things of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. The first coming of Jesus into the world was the fulfillment, as I said last week, the fulfillment of many things that are written in the Scriptures, in what we now call the Old Testament. Okay. Last week we began thinking about this for our Christmas season, that on Resurrection Day, Jesus unfolded to his apostles all the things the scriptures said concerning himself in the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Okay, they say many, many things about this, at the time, was mysterious one to come. Who is this person? Well, now, of course, we know it's the Lord Jesus. Last week, we looked at something in the law. Well, it's the book of Genesis, so it's not the law proper, but it's called the law. It's Moses. We read about Abraham taking Isaac up Mount Moriah to offer him as a burnt offering. And when Isaac was right on the point of losing his life, God provided a substitute. And we looked into the Gospel of John, and we saw, of course, that Jesus is the fulfillment of this type. Okay, he's the fulfillment of the old sacrificial system of worship, the system of atonement. Behold the Lamb of God, who really takes away the sin of the world. Okay? And Christ is our substitute. He's the righteous. We are the unrighteous. He has taken our place. So that was the law. The prophets supply this morning's passage, as you can see, Isaiah. Again, in this passage, as with last time, what we see is someone who is sent. Okay, someone who, what did we say last week? The Lord will provide. Okay, so this person is being provided by God Almighty. I am sending him to the Gentiles. I am giving him to the world, and he will do my will. Okay, you see in verse 1, he is my, I think it's 1, might be 2. He is my elect servant, verse 1. And as was true with the Lamb of God last week, this is nothing less than God's grace. Right? God does not have to provide. He does not have to do this. He is not under any obligation to supply the lamb for us. He's not under any obligation to snatch Isaac out of the fire, is he? He's not under any obligation to receive us back to himself, or make peace with us, or show goodwill toward men, peace on earth, and so on. Okay, we are the offenders. We are the felons. So this is the grace of God. In his grace and by his grace alone, he did choose to provide a way for rescue, a way for reconciliation and pardon and restoration. Okay? God loved, so therefore God gave his son. That's how it is here too in Isaiah. The world was and is in darkness. Eyes are blind. People grope around for the meaning of life, don't they? People have their false religions and their superstitions and their philosophies and bizarre beliefs of many kinds, okay? And people have a distorted sense of morality. People compete with each other and they struggle against each other and try to dominate each other. The scripture says that people go astray in their hearts because they don't know my ways. Okay, they go astray in their hearts because they don't know my ways. That is a miserable way for people to live. Okay, hateful and hating each other. It's a miserable way to live, controlled by fears, controlled by passions and strong emotions, controlled by envy and by idolatry. People are brutal. People are conceited. They're unforgiving. They're unthankful, and they're unkind. Okay, and the scripture says that they are slaves to sin. They're lost in the darkness of ignorance of God. They go astray in their hearts because they don't know my ways. And again, wouldn't God be perfectly within his rights just to leave it that way? Long lay the world in sin and error pining away until he appeared, okay, until the grace of God appeared, and the carol says, and the soul felt its worth. God did not have any obligation to send light, okay, to shine his wonderful light into the world. If we, the family of Adam, have gone away from God, which we have, if we have shunned and rejected the light, and as a consequence, we have gotten lost in the darkness. And in fact, we've chosen to sit down in the darkness, and we've come to prefer the darkness, actually. What obligation does God have to send, to turn the light on or to shine his light? Okay, none. He has none. He doesn't have to do this, but he did so that people like you and me, men and women, would glorify his name, would give him thanks for his great mercy. I, for one, then, am not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. Hey, how about you?
Amen.
It is manifestly the grace of God. He did not have to do it, but he did, because he loves us. Book of Titus says this, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared. It has appeared. It's been made manifest to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness, worldly passions, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age as we look forward to the blessed hope and the glorious second appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Okay, there's the substitute provided. He gave himself for us to redeem us from lawless deeds, to redeem us from our sins, okay, so that we won't sin anymore, and purify for himself a special people of his very own. That should be you and me, who are zealous for good works. Okay, that's why Christ came, to purify for himself a special people who belong to him, who are zealous for good works. Okay, turn please then to John 8:12. We're talking about fulfillment. John 8:12 reads as follows, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. That's quite a claim. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness anymore, but he shall have the light of life. Again, the Spirit of God spoke through, in ancient times, spoke through the prophet Isaiah about this one to come. I, the Lord, I, Yahweh, Jehovah, I have called you in righteousness. I will hold your hand. I will keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people. Okay, that is to say, the people of Israel, and as a light to everybody else, a light to the Gentiles, a light to the nations. To do what? To open blind eyes, to bring out the imprisoned from their bondage, and those who sit in darkness out of the prison house. And now here's Jesus standing before the Jews. I am the light of the world. Now later in John, he says, I have come a light into the world so that whoever believes in me should not remain in their darkness. Okay, so darkness is where you start. Darkness is where we all begin. Darkness has fallen over the world because of sin. Okay, they go astray in their hearts because they have not known my ways. Darkness shrouds the heart of every single man and woman, but then God says, let there be light. Let there be a light for the nations. And there was light. He provided one. Don't you think this one in Isaiah is one of the passages that the Lord Jesus showed to his disciples after his resurrection? As he commissions them and sends them out and says, you're going to be witnesses to me here in Israel. Okay, well, just what Isaiah says, among the people, and then to the very farthest reaches of the earth. Okay, and a light to the nations, a light to the Gentiles. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Okay, don't you hear that scripture at Christmas time? The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light is one of those repeated Christmas themes or motifs. Now, as a matter of fact, we just sang, O little town of Bethlehem, in thy dark streets, all unbeknownst to you, shineth the everlasting light. Okay, the baby came, the light dawned. It's like a little spark of light there in the stable, right? It's like a little candlelight which is destined to grow and grow as people spread it. Okay, hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Okay, that's from Malachi. That's S-U-N, the sun rising up over the horizon, the sun shedding its light. That's what it says. Light and life to all he brings, risen. Okay, coincidentally, Christ is risen from the dead, but we're talking about the sun risen, the sun coming up, risen with healing in his wings. Okay, the dawn is coming. The darkness is being dispersed. Now, brothers and sisters, as for you, can you testify to an experience of the dawning of the light of Jesus Christ upon you? I'll have to put it to you very straight. Can you testify to this ever happening in your own heart and say, I was once in darkness. I really was, honestly, ignorant of the will of God and the mind of God and the ways of God. I was in dark. I lived my life in darkness. I did the deeds of darkness. But there was a certain point, and I can put my finger on it, when Christ came into my life and the light pierced my darkness and I came into the light, and now I do know. Now I know, because the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father has declared to me through the gospel, the knowledge of God. And I can now say, whereas I once could not, that I know God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, friends, is that you? I know God because the Son of God has revealed him to me. Me, a sinner. Me, a captive. Me, a blind man until, okay, I confess I was ignorant. I was a slave to my emotions. I was tossed around here and there. Now Jesus Christ has shown me God's will. He has shown me God's ways. He has shown me God's mercy. Is that your story? You must be born again.
Amen.
I am not interested in how long you have been a churchgoer. That is not my concern. I am asking you, can you say, whereas I once was darkness, now I am light in the Lord. I walk in the light. I am putting off the fruitless deeds of darkness. Okay, because John's gospel also says this, that the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. Okay, and that means they didn't really know him. John's not saying the world never met him. The Jews and the Pharisees, you know, who in the book of John sort of represent the world, they met him. They knew him. Okay, I know him. I know his address. I know his mom. I know his dad. I know his brothers. I know where to find him. But it's very possible, and Christians, I'm sorry to say, it seems common, that people can know him and yet not know him. Okay, here we are in a church. Do you all know him? Do you maybe need to test yourself as to whether you really know him? Okay, well, here's a test. How's your worship? How's your worship? It's gray. Somebody who knows Jesus Christ is decidedly joyful, decidedly thankful, decidedly worshipful. Glory be to God. I marvel that Jesus Christ has brought me, a poor sinner, a blind man, out into his wonderful light. How's your worship? Here's another test. What's your life like? Is it full of strife? Is it full of envy, anxiety, selfishness, hatred, isolation? Okay, the book of Titus again says they profess to know him, but by their works they deny him. Okay, by their deeds, by their actions, by their worship, okay, by their language, by their walk, it shows, who cares about the words they say, it shows that they really don't know him. If you call upon a father who shined his light into the world, who sent his servant to the Gentiles, somehow all the way over here on the other side of the ocean from where it began, okay, he provided us with a teacher and with a master and with a savior. If you call upon a father, Abba Father, then be obedient children. Okay, because in another place in John, Jesus says this, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. He has not been set free. Okay, that's what Isaiah said, I give you as a light to the Gentiles, not just to open the blind eyes, but to bring prisoners out of bondage. To bring prisoners out of bondage. Has the Son set you free from sin? Or are you still a slave? Okay, there's the test. Do God's words have the effect on you that he intends for them to have? And God desires his preached word, his written word, to have an effect on you. Is it having that effect? Test yourselves. Jesus says, again in John, it's John 8:47, whoever is of God hears God's words. And again, not just, yeah, I heard you. Okay, no, it means hear and obey. Okay, if you do not hear, Jesus said, you are not of God. Okay, you hear me, but you don't hear me. Okay, I'm afraid that's how it is in some cases. Walk, brothers and sisters, walk as children of light. It is God who said, let there be light, who has shone into the hearts of men and women, hopefully you, the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, okay, in the person of Jesus Christ. Fittingly, we have our sister Ellie here with us today. Why is her work so important? It's because of this very thing, because though the world was made through him, the world did not know him, okay? The much of the world still does not even know him, not even a little bit. They're not even familiar with his name. That is why we need messengers. It's why we need laborers, and that's why laborers need supporters, okay? One more place to go. It's Acts 13 and verse 44. Acts 13, 44. And Acts 13 is Paul out on one of his missionary journeys. And Paul preaches in one of the synagogues and causes a big splash. And makes enough of an impression that everybody the next Saturday 44, Acts 13, 44. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. And Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles." Now, 47, "For so the Lord has commanded us." That's me and Barnabas. "I have set you as a light to the Gentiles." You see, he quotes from our chapter of Isaiah. "I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." Now, when the Gentiles heard this, you bet they were glad. They were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord. "And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord spread throughout all the region." Okay? Dawn spreads over Galatia. Okay? Thank God for the faithful preaching of the gospel. Paul and Barnabas here are a model for us. Okay, Jesus said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Well, now he is back with his Father. He has put his Holy Spirit upon his servants. Now they are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Okay, Paul is saying that here, this passage of Isaiah that was fulfilled in Christ, well, it's also fulfilled in those who are carrying the gospel, those who are shedding the light of Christ abroad into the world. They go for the sake of the name. And so they are fulfillment of what we read in Isaiah. "I have set you as a light for the nations, so that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." Okay, brothers and sisters, you and I have a chance to be partners in salvation with the Holy Spirit of Christ. Okay, Christ was sent. The Lord will provide, right? The Lord provided the light of the world. We also, okay, the Lord can provide you to somebody, okay, that we can go. We can be light. We can bring light. We can free men and women who are captive to sin. The prerequisite being, has Jesus opened your eyes? If not, you can't go. Not yet. That would just be the blind leading the blind, right? My advice to you, if Christ has not opened your eyes, call out for the light. "Son of David, have mercy on me." What is it? What do you want? "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Shake off my blindness. Shake off my spiritual dullness. And what do they say to him? "Hurry up, blind man, go, go. The Lord's calling you. The Lord is calling you. If he has not opened your eyes yet, come. I'll give you your sight." If he has opened your blind eyes, and the light of life has pierced your darkness and has scattered your night, carry the light to where there is no light. There are people sitting in darkness in the land of the shadow of death. Send the light. Send the blessed gospel light and let it shine from shore to shore. Let's pray. Spirit of God, we ask you that you would stir our hearts to spread the light of Jesus Christ to all people, far and near. We ask you, Lord God, that you would draw us, each one, closer to yourself. Shine the light of Jesus Christ into every heart. Lord, some here belong to you. And we give you thanks that you have taught us the way of truth. We pray, Lord God, that through our daily walk we would grow closer to you all the time, that we would come farther into the light and leave behind the things of darkness. And Father, there are some here who do not belong to you, and we pray, Lord God, for them. We pray, Lord God, that you would have mercy, that you would speak clearly, that you would take away their hesitation and their resistance to obey and to find everlasting life. Father in heaven, speak to each heart here now. Reprove, correct, encourage, strengthen. And may your name be glorified in each and every one of us. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.